This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio.
We really need to fix that because it says, thank you, Mr. DJ.
That is terrible.
It's outrageous.
I've never DJ'd in my life. And I think to genderize the DJ is terrible.
When it's we've wrong. Got... It's 2015.
2015, man. Come on.
Just even delve straight into the pertinent issues. But yes, you are tuned into what apparently is Sarah Hugh and Doc 2, but... two-thirds of the above aren't here. So it's actually Sarah and John ZD taking care of you until 6 p.m. today on FUBAR Radio.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for inviting me down to this. I love FUBAR Radio. I love the fact that we have got no adverts and we can talk as much shit as we like.
I know, which that's a dangerous invitation for us, really, isn't it? I mean, we're probably a bit safer that Doc isn't here this week.
Yes.
Because, yeah, like me and Doc just end up going off on tangents. My sister
tangents.
Was saying we should rename the show We Digress.
Yeah.
Because it was just pure digressing last week. But yes, we do have a jam-packed show for you this week. We have guests galore coming in to the show. We have two record store owners. Last Saturday was International Record Store Day. I like the fact that you have Record Store Day the 18th of April. And right. Then just a couple of days later is 420. The International
Weed
Celebration
Day.
Of Solidarity for weed, viewing marijuana in a more positive light.
So we like music and we like to talk about weed, so it makes sense that they follow each other consequentially.
So we have Jim and Ben, who own Sacred Grooves. It's a brand new record shop in South London. They're going to be joining us. We also have later a performer from Breaking Convention down.
We have an amazing popper and locker called Yami Lovenberg. We know her as Rowdy on the dance scene, and she's going to be doing Breaking Convention this year. She's done Breaking Convention for the last 7 or 8 years.
So I must have seen her then at some point.
You've definitely seen her.
Yeah. Gosh, we need to get her to do some... she needs to teach me some popping, locking move. I remember as a kid practicing this for... hours
wow.
in the mirror. That just reminds me of the 80s.
If you saw what Sarah was doing now, you would never believe she can wave her fingers. Yeah. But the thing is, I'm not
Skills.
Surprised because you've been doing that on the turntable for years. So, you know what I mean?
But you see, this is why I'm a DJ, because then I haven't got to do the dancing part.
Right.
My sister's an amazing dancer, but yeah, I hide behind the turntables and I haven't got to embarrass myself in that respect.
And you're talking to somebody who knows a lot about contemporary dance, and the fact is you probably are a dancer, but maybe not in the traditional sense.
Yes, I'm an introverted dancer. Inside, I'm incredible. Inside, I'm like Popping Pete or something. Yeah, but like, yeah, in reality, doesn't really work like that. So yeah, no, we need to get like some footage of Yami or something doing us some kind of demonstration, even though the listeners won't. They'll just be able to hear our reactions
listeners,
to her incredible skills. But you'll be able to check us out on Twitter, .com/FUBARradio.
Just trust us. Yeah. We know what we're talking about here. And as we scream and shout, watching Yami doing her thing, just picture it in your minds. But we'll
it's
give you a little
be
link
fresh
to
death. Yes, for sure. And yeah, we've got brand new music as well from Roots Maneuver.
Ooh,
I know.
Roots. See, we've been witnessing the fitness for so many years now. I can't wait to hear some fresh Roots stuff, man.
Yeah.
This is great. And I think the whole world is waiting for it, actually.
Yeah, for real. And it sounds inspired. So
lovely.
I'm looking forward to playing some of that. And then I thought it would only be right on today's show to play some Gangstar. Seeing as just the other day was the 5 years already. Can you believe that?
Five years
ago that Guru passed away.
And
it just really got me thinking about... See, we often just go off on these hip-hop tangents on this show. But really, this is a slice of what it's like me just chatting with my mate.
Yeah.
How our normal kind of conversations go. Anyway, but it really just made me think so much about Gangstar.
Yeah.
And how incredible like their catalogue is. And really...
Yes.
they have got to go in the top 10 all-time hip-hop greatest groups.
Definitely. And for me, well, the hard-to-earn album in particular means a lot to me, because in 1994, me, MC Mello and Pogo, we toured all around Europe with Gangstar and J. Rue the Damager.
Oh.
And we just heard the Hard to Earn album every day loudly live for 5 weeks. Do you know what I mean?
I wish I could have been there for that.
It was intense, man. And I'll never forget Guru saying something to me that stayed with me all my life. Basically, he said, "Jonzy, when you want to make an album, please, I beg you, brother, can I have a couple of tracks on it?" Dude was going to make beats for my album, man. And
he was such a cool dude. Like, out of many people that I've met in the music industry and thing, he was genuinely a guy who showed love. Yeah. Like, he was very, you know, I hardly knew him, but he was still like, "No, when you come to New York, make sure you hit us up." So I was like, "Okay, I'm going to hit him up and go to New York." No expectation. Yeah. He fully looked after me and my sisters out there, like, for days kind of thing. And he was just such a cool dude. So I just thought, you know, we need to kind of acknowledge the greatness and
the gifted, unlimited rhymes that are universal. Do you know what I mean?
I know. So I was just like, kind of, whoa, 5 years already. Time is just kind of flying. So I thought I'd play some Gangstar as well. I think, hey up, and we have guests who have walked into the studio, so they'll be joining us shortly. But first, let's play a tune. You are tuned into Fubar Radio. We love hearing from you guys. 0330223020 is the phone number. You can also email us at tuesdaydrive@fubarradio.com and Twitter Fubar Radio too. So hit us up. So speaking of Gangstar, let's just set it off like this. Certified classic material. Take a rest from Gangstar. Incredible music.
Banging.
Banging, mate. And yes, you're tuned into Fubar Radio with me, Sarah. And my guest co-host this week is Jonzy D of Breaking Convention. You did such a wonderful job as our guest last week that we were just like, no, you need to come back.
I greatly appreciate that, because I was told that I've got an absolutely amazing face for radio. So
you were told right. So, no, I'm joking. So, I'm joking.
I'm really happy to be here, you know, so you can all see my beauty. But also, you know, I guess what I really love about Fubar Radio is that it's uncensored and there's no adverts. And for that reason, I feel that we're not interrupted by BS, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and we're following the natural flow of things. You see, that's why I've always had a love affair with pirate radio, because it's just like unadulterated, the people's expression, you know, and we all love a bit of Fubar over here. And every week on the show, Jonzy, we have a couple different things. Like, one is Taking the Piss Tuesday, so we give the listeners of Fubar the opportunity to vent something this week that made them say, "Are you taking the piss?" Right. Like, for real. Okay. So remember later on to hit us up at Fubar Radio on Twitter. You can email us at tuesdaydrive@fubarradio.com to let us know what this week made you say, "Are you taking the piss?" And another feature that we always have, well, normally it's from Doc, is "No, they didn't."
Listen. Oh, no, they didn't.
Oh, my God, like, no, they didn't.
Are you feeling the funky beats?
Love it. Love it. And what I really like about it is that, oh, no, they didn't.
Yes.
Because they did.
They totally did. So
I'll tell you what they did.
Yeah, I mean, this week, yesterday was 420. For those who don't know what 420 is, all these innocent people out there, 420 is like what meant to be the International Day of Unity, solidarity amongst them, people who are pro medical marijuana, pro decriminalization of weed.
Decriminalization. It's a fantastic day. It's been happening for quite a few years now. I think they had one last year, which was attended by a certain amount, and apparently this year it's risen by 50% the amount of people that were there.
Oh, what, last year people were in Hyde Park Zoo?
Yes, that's right.
I see. And so I didn't even hear that people were gathering in Hyde Park last year.
Kept it on the low. And apparently they've had things like that at Brockwell Park. There was a march once about decriminalisation, and they all ended up in Brockwell Park, and I believe three or four people were arrested by police. Funny enough, this time, apparently 53 people were arrested by the police.
Because there was a gathering in Hyde Park. I heard there was 1,000 people in Hyde Park.
There's 1,000 people, probably over 1,000 people.
And I'm imagining that it was probably pretty peaceful.
It was, I mean...
because people aren't starting fights when they're lean, are they?
Listen, I think, I mean, I've heard that when one smokes weed, the last thing that they want to do is start fighting. If anything, you probably want to just rest, have a sleep, or maybe eat some cake. So yes, it was very peaceful. I just so happened to be in the area, so I took a walk down to Hyde Park. Hyde spelled H-I-G-H-E-D, Park. And what was overwhelming for me was just the amount of cool people smiling. And there was a cross-section of society there. You had every single ethnicity that was there. You had lawyers. I saw a doctor that was there as well. And you had many different types, lots of musicians, creatives and stuff, but lots of students as well. Basically, it was society.
Okay. Yeah?
But I found it really strange that the police that were all hovering around, you know.
How many police were there?
They were in like groups of five, basically.
Okay.
And then they had groups of two officers that would come into the mass, mm-hmm. and be striking up conversations with people.
So they were chilled?
They were relatively chilled.
Okay.
And then every now and again, they'll just steam in.
Every now and then.
they'll steam in, grab a whole bunch of people and take and arrest them. But my question is, yes, my question is this. How did they decide which 53 of the 1,000 were they going to arrest? And I just thought it was a little bit out of order, but it'd be really interesting to hear anybody tweet at FUBAR Radio. Give us your opinion on what it means to actually indulge in medical marijuana, recreational marijuana, whatever.
Well, I think it's interesting because there's more states in the US that are following Colorado, and it's medical marijuana is being made legal and stuff like this. And to me, I just think it's interesting how it's coinciding with like economic downturn, because they're suddenly like, okay, dudes, how can we get some extra cash in the pocket? I don't know, let's just allow them and we'll just like decriminalize things. And so I'm a bit suspicious of where a lot of the laws surrounding the illegality of certain drugs and things like that. So, I mean, I wouldn't even call a plant a, well, technically it is a drug, isn't it? Kind of thing. Well, but no, so I definitely am curious, like, what the general consensus people have on legalization.
Yes.
But then even beyond that, I also just thought about things that you enjoy that have gotten you in trouble, or things that you love that have gotten you in trouble. So I'm curious to the FUBAR Radio listeners, what do you love that has gotten you in trouble? Maybe it's a woman or a man. Women can get you in a lot of trouble.
Maybe it's shoes. Maybe it's a ridiculous amount of cars that you may want to purchase. But what do you love that has gotten you in trouble?
Actually, speaking of shoes and cars and things, I do know a few people who blatantly they're just in debt because they are addicted to like handbags or something. That's a problem. I mean, I know I used to get in trouble when I was a teenager because my parents would tell me you need to go to sleep, but I would be in my bedroom making music, and so there'd be like that. Often got me into trouble quite a lot as a kid. So it could be anything like the passionate weed smokers in Hyde Park. Some of those 53 people, they got into some serious problems, didn't they?
Yes.
But so what things, who, what, where, when, how have you gotten into trouble? Things that you love that have caused you trouble. Hit us up at TuesdayDrive@FooBarRadio.com and tweet us at FooBarRadio. And we love hearing your voices. 0330-223-0200. We love to hear from you. Coming up shortly, also, we have some special guests about to step into the studio. I think they're almost ready to roll. Interested to hear.
Okay, I've been thinking about it, Sarah. What do I do that gets me into trouble? Okay. I have a real problem when it comes to walking down the street and not stepping on the cracks within the pavement.
Really? Okay.
And there's been times where I've been enjoying that, walking down the street, not getting into it, and I'll bump into people, and they'll be like, oh, you need to look where you're going. I know it sounds really ridiculous, but I thought I'd confess to you, Sarah.
You have OCD issues like me.
I have OCD issues.
Mine don't manifest in, like, the cracks on the pavement, but, yeah, I have other kind of OCD issues. Yeah.
Really? Come on, well, tell me about yours.
I wash my hands way too much. I don't. When I'm on the tube. Mm. Oh, and speak. Yeah, when I'm on the tube, I definitely don't hold the handle on the tube.
Right, gotcha.
You know, I've seen people go, achoo, yes, into the hand, then grab the handle.
Absolutely.
That grosses me out.
Yes.
Door
yes.
handles, things like that, I can't deal with it.
So, what do you do when you're on a packed train and you can't actually stand up?
I like to use it as like ninja training. And that's how I deal with it. I'm like, okay, how can I not fall over without having to touch any of this diseased place that I'm in? But I'm going to go back into that when we get into Are You Taking the Piss? I guess that overlaps with Are You Taking the Piss section of the show a little bit. So hit us up, TuesdayDrive@FooBarRadio.com. We want to hear from you guys. Last night, there was an ill show that happened in London too, which I really wanted to make it out to, but I couldn't. And Prime, that's Royce the 5'9 and DJ Premier, they were performing in, they were doing a UK tour at the moment. But I wanted to play something brand new from their album before. We have our guests, Ben and Jim from Sacred Grooves. They run a record shop in South London. Step up onto the mic. So, first of all, let's play with some of this, but you're listening to FooBar.
It's time to move on to the next one.
How banging was that?
That is super ill. I didn't realise that song was so short, though. Have you heard that new Prime album? Prime being Royce the 5'9 and DJ Premier. Have you had it on?
I haven't, man. I haven't. And when did it come out?
Like, what, just a few weeks ago or something?
Okay.
Well, we should ask the record store guys.
Course.
They'll have the answers. Because right now we're joined by Jim and Ben, the owners of Sacred Grooves in Peckham, South London. Hey.
Hello. Hey, how you doing?
We're good. It's lovely have you guys here. Have you heard the Prime album?
No, we only have old records.
Yeah, they don't deal with anything that's newer than 1963.
No, newer than that.
You've got to deal with the 70s, man.
I'm joking. And the 80s.
And some 90s.
Right,
some
90s,
so strictly good.
But this century's just out of the
kind of, really.
The 21st centuries are open.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's good stuff. But what, the shop is brand new, that's correct. So how long has Sacred Grooves been open?
For Saturdays now. We're only open on a Saturday due to financial constrictions. But for Saturdays and all going well.
And how did you come to open a record store?
Well, it's just, I've been a really big record collector since I was 10, and Jim's been a collector since I've known him, and we both wanted to do something with records, and we both buy a lot of records, and we both end up with a lot of records that we can't keep, so we want to sell them. So we just decided to get together, and, you know, it's cool. We're like a community thing. We're in a back street in Peckham. Every day we get like 50 people walking past the shop, stopping, looking at the records in the window and smiling, and we get this kind of acceptance in the neighbourhood, and people are kind of happy with there, and yeah, it's a really good thing. So,
see, I'm so pro record shops. I feel like they are a meeting point for the community.
In Peckham at the moment, I think there's four or five like small little record shops in one near the railway station, one in the back of a food shop.
Really?
I heard. Is it right that that sales of vinyl has actually risen this year? That's what I heard. Is that true?
I've heard this. I mean, there's, I think people are, smaller bands are doing limited runs of kind of new records. So I think there's, because there's an, apparently the vinyl record chart has reopened again. So I think a lot of these new bands are pressing vinyl, and, you know, maybe some of the older ones. But, you know, there's definitely something happened. But whether, I don't know if anyone's recording the sales of secondhand vinyl, so I don't actually know.
Or if
that,
they have for even for a long time.
Yeah, I don't know how that affects us. But
apparently last year, vinyl sales reached nearly 10 million copies of vinyl. Wow. In 2014. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? But why do you think, like, people still have... Because I think for a long time, people just thought, oh, vinyl, that's redundant. Like, that's on the way out. When the mini disc came out, everyone was like, oh, yeah, this is a new shit.
I think it's the tactile nature of things, isn't it? You get the whole package. You get 12 inches of something to hold, pictures, artwork. You can actually see the effort someone's put into it. Whereas, kind of, you download something off the internet... There's never any real contact with the product, not the product, which is a really horrible kind of capitalist phrase, but you know what I mean.
It's
just something to hold, and you know, we live in a world where everything's kind of
disposable.
Everything's in the ether, and it's kind of, it won't last. And possibly in years to come, they might be like the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yeah,
like people will find music, which all the electricity's gone down. We've found these strange bits of. If we get a needle and just rest
you can hand crank a turntable.
Absolutely.
That's it.
But apparently, like, this whole century of data, like, everything being so online, there's a risk that none of this is going to exist in the future. It's so easy for people to think that this is so concrete. Like,
when the computer platform changes.
Exactly. Like, that's why I really, it is true to say vinyl is forever. It's not just one of those corny phrases.
It's great seeing young people come in. Like, there's a lot of beards moved into the Peckham area.
A lot of beards, like beards with no body, like the beard just walks along on its own. I've seen them.
There's a resurgence of interest amongst young people about kind of things that just don't appear on computers anymore. Like, they never come up in a recommended list, or they never kind of point you to this. It's something that you'll only find on a piece of vinyl.
Yeah, like real digging as opposed to digital digging.
Yeah, for real.
But I've been so impressed with the record store, how seriously people take Record Store Day. Like, because the gathering, I don't know if you've made it down to at Berwick Street, the gathering that they have.
No, they shut off the streets and things down there, no, do they?
Yeah, so I was just even impressed that the council let that run. Have you been down to Records today? It's ill. No. Like, so on the 18th of April, it's literally like a mini Notting Hill Carnival. They closed off Berwick Street, they have a stage, they've got like different sound systems outside the different record spots.
Lots
and stuff,
of beards.
And lots of beards.
It's like Captain Caveman convention.
Really?
That's a rule. You have to be there with someone with a beard.
I'm going to turn up with a razor.
I like that buzzer's cutting off the ponytails. Do the same. Hack off them beards.
No disrespect, because, you know, as a dread, I understand the thing of growing hair. But so tell me, was it an actual party that was happening there, but only with music? With vinyl, is that
what at Record Store Day? You mean the Berwick Street thing is and I think it's all over the world. On the 18th of April, they have these different functions, but it's just Berwick Street have been a bit more organised about it, and it's like got the council's seal of approval and everything. But I think it's like Sister Ray maybe are involved in actually organising it all and stuff. But they had an ill sound system outside Sounds of the Universe. That was a really cool party, and so then it's just nice to see all the faces out there for. Music, primarily.
Next year, Peckham. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Next year, we're going to take over from Berwick Street. It's going to be all about the Sacred Grooves party. But you have brought down a tune to play for us today. So is this kind of representative of the sorts of...
Yeah, well, I mean, we opened up... We want to kind of specialise in kind of world grooves, like interesting bits of music from all over the world that people don't get to hear every day. Like, you're not going to get recommended it on a YouTube playlist necessarily, you know, if you're just looking at the same stuff. We want to kind of... You know that vibe when you... Well, maybe you don't. Maybe you don't remember how record shops used to be, but, you know, if you go in, you hear something play and you're like, oh, shit, I've got to have that. And you'll pay whatever, you know. I mean, it's not about the money, but it's about, you know, experiencing new tunes and hearing, you know...
And is it the thing about the rarity of it? The fact that
can
maybe...
Can be. I mean, it's just about good music, man. It's just about kind of... hearing stuff.
Can even be about good artwork on a cover. The music could be terrible, but like you see the effort that someone's put into the cover.
Yeah.
Or even transform the music.
Coloured vinyl and vinyl
picture
with
discs.
Picture discs. Love that, man.
The Isaac Hayes, the fold out Isaac Hayes.
Yeah,
that's
that
classic.
The crucifix. But I wanted to just throw this out, guys.
Go on, throw it out.
As a DJ that travels and stuff like that, I used to work a lot with DJ Pogo, great DJ Pogo. And I used to carry his records. And, fortunately, it allowed me to develop some muscle power and stuff. But doesn't that get in the way as a traveling DJ? And isn't that something that's actually good about no vinyl? Sorry, guys. Yeah. Please don't kill me.
But in these days of little exercise, probably it's quite good to kind of carry.
Obesity epidemic has taken over the country, so that crushes that. That is probably the best thing about Serato, is not having. I used to have calloused hands from carrying record crates. Yeah. So it's like, that's the one good thing is. Just your health and safety issues of straining your back or something trying to pick up a record box. But then when technology doesn't work, that's the worst thing in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
Make you want to kill yourself. So it's like, but whereas that's what's nice with vinyl, what can really go wrong? You press play.
Potentially, you lose a computer or some kind of computer device, you've lost everything. But it's very difficult to lose more than a couple of boxes of records.
Yeah, totally. Because if someone jacks you, they can't run.
They're
going to just walk away.
Exactly. So no, it is all about celebrating the good quality vinyl music. But yes, this new. So you bought a lot. Am I allowed to mention who this record is?
Yeah.
So this is a tune that you've bought to play. So this is the kind of beats that Ben digs out and that you can find down at Sacred Grooves in Peckham. This is Linda Tillery. Anything to tell us about this record?
It's just a nice tune. You can listen to it when you're driving home. Nice sunny day. Yeah.
Yes, like today. So let's do this.
What shall I read?
We'll go. I'm loving that. Sorry. I'm absolutely loving that. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. We need to share this love with the Foobar listeners. You're locked into Sarah, guest host John ZD, and we're joined right now by the owners of Sacred Grooves, the super rare, ill, all vinyl, brand new record store in South London, Peckham. Whereabouts exactly can people find you? Do you even know your own address?
Eventually.
98 Friary Road in Peckham, which is parallel to the library in Peckham.
Yep.
Two streets behind, just off Goldsmith's Road.
So where do you go? How do you go?
You have to look.
You have to look. You've got to use your brain and your eyes. How do you guys get your stock? Like, how do you become... first of all, where does the stock come from?
From various secret sources. I get up very, very early every day and travel around the world looking for records.
Do you like this low-key answer? It's like not giving away too much.
Yeah, I'm not giving away nothing. It's hard work.
But then, okay, so I would say it's safe to call yourself a certified beat digger.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So what does it take to be, like, if someone's listening to Foobar Radio now with dreams and aspirations of being an ill beat digger, what's your advice to them?
Give up and leave the records for me.
Oh! Yes, that fighting talk. Wonderful. Just fall back.
Mine.
Yeah.
Learn to get up very early.
Yeah, learn to get up very early and learn your shit.
But that does crack me up how, what's it called? Like the, what's the word I'm looking at? The competitiveness between, like, because even, in like normal record stores, like whether that was Our Price back in the day, like, it's that competition to get something before the other person bought it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, so
I'm disappointed now because there was a time where certain DJs would draw certain tunes that nobody else has. But now it feels like everybody gets everything at the same time, like when it comes to new stuff.
But that's where we come in. We are still out there every day looking for stuff that some people don't know. We still find records. I still found a dope reggae record on Saturday, and it wasn't on YouTube. So, there is... You can't just go online
and listen
to
everything. That's an accomplishment. It's not on YouTube.
Yeah.
That's amazing. No, but the other problem, I swear, nowadays, though, is because DJs are so much sheep. Like, because it's all about like, oh, this is hot right now, so you have to play it. Like when you go to say a jiggy club, which I try my best to avoid, but nowadays it's like every DJ, there's a list of songs where it's like, I think many DJs well, you play those clubs, they feel as though they have to play that new Drake tune, they have to play that because it's so hot right now, kind of thing.
But you can download people's playlists on the internet. When we were, you know, I mean, Johnsy will back me up on this, when we were going out clubbing when we were kids, you know, you didn't know what the guy was playing unless you were standing there watching the records that were going on the turntable. And then half the time you'd still coloured out all the names on the record so you couldn't tell. I mean,
but that's what I mean. Was it was so much your signature as a DJ was part of your selection, made your signature kind of thing.
Yeah, totally.
And that doesn't exist. Like, I think there's people who don't even know that ever existed. Because it's like, the rules are you've got to play so-and-so big, because that's a big tune right now.
You've got rappers DJing
I don't
now,
follow
right?
those so,
dude, rappers, singers... painters, actors, all thinking
they're DJs.
Who do
they think
now.
They are?
It's disrespectful, I'm sorry. And the only reason why I say disrespectful is because I know DJs, like proper DJs, and I know the digging that they've done, and I know the technical ability that they've got on the turntables. I know how they know how to mix, and these things, you can't do that if you're an actor. You can't, you know what I mean? You need to give that proper time, do you know what I mean? And so it does upset me, man, I'm not going to lie. Because I've never bothered messing with decks. I've got Technics in the house right now and a beautiful mixer, which was actually given to... Well, okay, I purchased it from DJ Pogo. So I feel that they're golden for some reason, yeah? But I don't actually use them, do you know what I mean? I think I'm part of that generation. I'm an MC and I never really touch the turntables. I just like listening to music, so I tend not to work with them. Do you have any advice from me, you free vinyl people? Do you think it's worth it, or shall I just stick to what I'm doing with my iTunes, for example?
Do you like listening to records?
I like listening to music.
But do you listen to records?
Sometimes, and sometimes I listen to MP3s, but it doesn't make that much difference to me personally. So
right. But you have, do you not find the convenience of, say, you have a shelf with your selection on it, and you know that when you want to, you know, play that, you know, you can just reach for that thing, put it on there. You don't have to log into, you know, your Wi-Fi or, you know, I know things are quick, but
it
doesn't work right there for
I've got playlists on my phone, mate.
Well, then it's totally up to you. I mean, if something's not online, I can't, you know, if something's not online, I can't listen to it on my phone. And you know, if there's certain things that I can only find physically,
right,
I need to have that turntable to play it. Right. So for me, it's important, but I don't know, maybe get rid of one of your turntables.
Good idea. So then, and then get a digital delay. Yeah. So basically,
or come
I'll just
and sell your turntable. Come and spend the money in our shop on some records to play on the one remaining.
You know what? You know what? I'm coming to Peckham and I'm going to buy some wax. Yeah, should we make that a promise? Yeah,
I give you 10% discount.
Oh, you're a don.
Go 20, to 20. Sacred Grooves on 98 Friary Road in Peckham and mention the Sarah, Hugh, and Doc who aren't here this week show and get a 10% discount. But things that you love, this kind of brings me back to things that you love that have gotten you into trouble. So yeah, I think some people, they have a love for music.
Sarah has a love for discount. I'm sure that's
I have a love for discounts and for setting people up with discounts. No, but having a love for music where it's like sometimes you need to know that you shouldn't try to be a DJ and just stand back and appreciate as an audience member. But things that music has definitely gotten me into trouble in the past. But is there anything like that we want to hear from you guys as well? Hit us up on Twitter at Fubar Radio. I think you say somebody has emailed in with,
ooh, yes.
Let us know, Johnsy, what are people saying about things that they love that have gotten them into trouble, like the Hyde Park crew yesterday.
Okay, so Erica has said, alcohol has gotten me into quite a lot of trouble. I went through a phase of getting a bit drunk, then falling asleep on the train home, and ended up miles and miles away.
Oh my God, in Uxbridge or something.
We got a similar one to that.
I think there's like probably majority of Fubar listeners are like, yeah, alcohol tick. I think that's probably, we all agree that that's gotten it. Well, I'd say I love alcohol, I'd say that's a different...
Well, Rosie in Plasto's got a different take on it. When I was younger and used to drink cider in my local park, that got me into trouble, as it was the cheap one, and my hangover made me a bit dazed and confused the next day. One time I started crying in boots when they asked me if I wanted the buy one, get one free offer. Now I drink nice wine and I don't have the same problem. Oh. Rosie and Plasto.
So her love for cider turned her into the miserable drunk.
It can't be all about alcohol, surely. Okay, here we go.
Surely.
Hey, guys. My body spray gets me in trouble all the time. Oh. Call it the Lynx effect.
Oh,
but when I have a quick spray, the ladies go wild. My girlfriend does not. That's Stephen Lewisham.
Stephen Lewisham. You know, I hate the smell of men's deodorant.
Particularly
I don't know what
Lynx.
I hate the smell of more. Men's deodorant or BO. Sorry, men's
mixed
BO.
Mixed together.
Yeah, the mixed together
is
potent. That's toxic. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, so I don't know whether that's just him who thinks he's smelling fresh.
Definitely.
Well, no, I guess, yeah, it is better than the sweaty armpit smell, isn't it?
I don't know,
but
man.
He loves his Lynx. Yeah. He loves it. Who was that? Sorry, Stephen somewhere. Lewisham or something. But Jim, what do you love that has gotten you into trouble, would you say?
Politics with the kids all the time.
Yeah, you love a bit of politics.
I have to counter indoctrinate them from the rubbish they get taught at school.
Wow.
I know, I feel like this is part of my day-to-day routine.
They get taught a lot of nonsense at school. And yeah, I feel it's my role to kind of...
What do you mean? They come back from school saying, like...
With various kind of attitudes and interpretations of events, mainly economic events. And
You just shut them down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I give them the other view, shall we say.
Yeah.
Do they accept the other view, though?
No. No, very
so
rarely.
It's futile.
But it's good to challenge them. It's like they need to kind of, you know, be stimulated in that area and not just kind of... be empty vessels to be poured into.
Yes,
Jim's deep, man. Go, Jim! I'm feeling it. Ben, I know there must be things that you love that have gotten you into trouble.
Coffee gets me into trouble.
How?
Yeah. I drink too
How
much.
How does that work?
I drink too much.
And then you're just buzzing!
No, kind of, it gets me moving.
Yeah.
Moving? Yeah. What, okay. Do you mean in like a frenetic, excited way?
Like an internal way.
Gets
the bowels moving.
I'm always after that extra cup of coffee, but sometimes you just disregard the consequences and you have it anyway.
How do you disregard the consequences?
Well, it's kind of
do you make it didn't happen
no
or something?
No, selective memories, you know? Yeah. You're just like...
Mind over matter.
I'm going to enjoy this cup of coffee, even though I know what it's going to do to me later. On, I'll just pretend that doesn't happen. You know?
Well, that is quite similar, really, to the people at the 420 celebrations slash protests at Hyde Park. Yeah, because they were like, hey, we're risking criminal records here, but their love for weed.
Yeah,
they were just like, nah. So, I guess it is quite similar with your love for...
I'm a caffeine junkie.
Yes, a caffeine junkie. Many
it's
caffeine junkies.
It's interesting because you come across as really calm and relaxed, whereas my sister.
So imagine what he's like.
Yeah, imagine what I'm like when I haven't had a coffee.
Exactly. Asleep.
Asleep.
Dormant. Fully.
My getting up at 2:30 in the morning to go to Boots House, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what it is. My sister in law.
Don't name any locations.
I find them on the street.
She drinks. My sister in law drinks on average 6 cups of coffee a day.
Yeah.
And she can do so much in an hour. I'm amazed at just how much she can get through in an hour. She's just like, left, right, up, down. So I can see the benefits of being high on coffee.
Well, maybe I'm drinking the wrong coffee.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'll get you in contact with her.
Look it up. No, but I don't even feel an effect from coffee, like a wakefulness from caffeine.
Mm.
Like some people are like, oh, if I drink a coffee now, I'll never sleep. Yeah. I could drink a coffee and go straight to sleep.
Yeah.
So I don't even it has no effect on it. Maybe there's other lifestyle choices I'm making that I'll counteract it. Back to the music. I want to hear, you bought another selection, which I want to know what this goodness is.
Akula.
It's the title is pretty fresh. Oh, I'm liking it already.
Woo!
Oh yes,
I'm in it already, man.
Me too.
I am literally dancing right now on some Afrobeat vibe. Is it Afrobeat, would you say?
Yeah.
Woo!
Sickness.
Feeling it.
Do you know where this record comes from?
Yeah, from my house.
That's all the information you're getting.
Via Lagos.
You're tuned into Foodbar Radio. What things that you love have gotten you into trouble? We want to hear from you. Hit us up at 0330-223-0200. I wonder what Pete and Pimlico are saying this week. No, but hit us up. And you can also email us at tuesdaydrive@foodbarradio.com. I love that like fake ending, how it felt like it was going to end about 7 times before it finally ended. That was a jam! And that was courtesy of Ben and Jim, the owners of Sacred Groove, the illest new record shop in London that you need to go check out. And I think we also have some other people who have written to us about things that they love that have gotten them in trouble. This yesterday was 420, which is the international protest or solidarity of promoting the benefits of medical marijuana, etc. And there was a protest
and casual
happening,
smoking. just cool chilling.
And yeah, in Hyde Park, there was a bunch of people who got arrested because they were doing some kind of demonstration, which John Z witnessed.
I witnessed it. I was there just walking around casually, didn't realise there was this festival going on. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Innocently walking by,
and you know, I didn't have any illegal substances on me.
You're
but
just
I was
purely observing.
Around.
You'd finished it, right?
And just so, and smelling all of this wonderful aroma, and just being really upset, just seeing the police just hanging around, arresting people for enjoying themselves and enjoying their company, enjoying the plant.
But that, the levels of dedication where they were prepared to risk arrest to be there. So we've been asking you guys, what things do you love that have gotten you in trouble? I believe...
I got something in from Chris. I really, really love cars. So far, I have 3, and I'm doing them up in my garage. I get into a lot of trouble with my girlfriend for spending more time with my cars than with her. Chris!
Bruin.
Sort yourself out, geezer!
Yeah.
Don't do
just
that!
Step. Everybody, oh, is this your advice to Chris? Like, yeah, just put your passions aside.
Dude, just
focus
for a
on
moment,
your relationship.
Dude, yeah? Because R. Kelly sang a song about this, yeah? Something about Jeeps.
Oh, gosh.
Girl, I like you like my
See,
Jeep.
That was like some backhanded compliment, man.
Dude, it's not good. And Luda's got a track on his new album
oh, really?
Where he's talking about that. Guys, don't treat your woman like vehicles.
Don't make them play second fiddle to your vehicles. Now, one of our regular callers, Pete in Pimlico, are you there?
Yeah. Hi, guys. Yeah.
Of course,
I want to sing
pizza.
A little song. Let me sing.
Oh, oh.
Realize it. Don't criticize it. Advertise it. Yeah. Legalize it, man.
Yes.
Go on, Pete. Do you like how comfortable Pete is nowadays, where he's just like telling us how to run the show?
Yes.
He's like, nope,
yeah,
stop talking.
I'll tell you how to do the show, blood, yeah. So, hear the jingle.
But why do you think they should legalize it?
Because it's a beautiful thing, brother. I mean, I'm smoking one right now and it's lovely. I'm not out drinking. I'm not out harassing people. I'm not punching. I'm not beating my wife up. I'm just chilling with a weed.
Yeah.
And I ain't going to hurt anyone. But if I want to take a drug legally, I have to take one that makes me go violent, blood. I want to break the law so I cannot be violent.
So your motivation is you want to break the law without being violent.
This is excellent.
I break the law so I don't have to take a drug that makes you violent, because the only drug available to us is a drug that is the most murderous drug of all. More people are murdered from drink than any other drug. So
the amount that
I'm
alcohol,
breaking the law, so I don't have to take that evil drug.
The amount that alcohol costs the NHS every year is something like $65 billion, just all alcohol related.
And never mind people drink driving. I don't want people.
Oh,
I'm scared of drunk people in the street anyway, who might attack me. You know what I mean?
Let alone all the pavement pizza in Shoreditch and places like that where you're having to sidestep.
You get a pizza in your face, blood. A hot pizza in your face, and you got olives in your eyes.
It's not good, is it? But you know that none of that was happening at Hyde Park yesterday. At what? There were people with like glow sticks.
Yeah. Glow sticks. We had flags.
The Babylon. They just want to get the figures up. They know. They like weed. They know weed's all right. They just getting. Just get the figures up.
They get it for free.
They're just pocketing it.
I was in Glasgow once.
That's why
and
they went down there.
We went out with a few friends, and one of them was a copper, and I was like, "What? I'm not hanging out with a copper. He might nick me for just in case I might have something illegal on me." Copper was like, "What are you talking about? All my friends
they're
smoke.
All on it themselves when they're up, blood. They're
listen,
all on it.
He
off
took,
it.
Listen, no, he was smoking weed. He was smoking weed that night. A copper. So, you know.
You think that goes from Hyde Park? It goes to the policeman choir.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, you know what? I really think very soon we're going to see all these laws change because there's far too much money to be made. I think in like the first month in Colorado, like decriminalizing weed across the state, it was like $2 billion or something.
They need to make more American policemen smoke weed though, for real.
It's true, that might help.
If that stops you fighting, that's the perfect thing for American police.
That is a brilliant manifesto.
We need intravenous cannabis in police cars in America.
Brilliant. I love that, dude.
Switch,
you know what?
The donuts.
It will change. They will stop murdering people, you know, and whoever's letting them get away with it, they need to bun too.
they need a little piece. But no, thank you. So what about for you, Pete, though? What things that you love... So has weed gotten you into trouble before? What things that have gotten you into trouble?
Very lucky. I mean, I was going to go to the protest. The trouble with these weed protests is everyone's too stoned to get there, you know what I mean? You cannot be fucked to go down the park, man, and protest. You're just chilling, isn't it? So
Bridget,
there might have been 10,000 there, but really there's a million people.
In spirit, there were 10,000.
Well, there was quite... There was quite a few people. There was definitely over 1,000, probably about 1,500. And everybody, I felt that people went to their dealers on the journey to Hyde Park. Do you know what I mean? So I don't even think they were stoned before they went there. But I'll tell you something, man. It was peaceful. It was lovely. And Pete, I missed you, man.
Yeah, well, you see, there's people like me. Mainly the people that go to these things are the juggle people that juggle and travel and... They go travelling and they ride unicycles that go to these things. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of normal people smoking weed, like the man in the businessman with the glasses and the suit.
Well, Johnsy said those people, like, it was a vast cross-section of people who were up at Hyde Park yesterday.
They were there, bro.
Okay,
they were there.
But the real
bankers.
Part is they can't make it down, because even if they got the motivation, they lose their way on the map. You know?
Thank you very much, Pete. It's always lovely to hear from you. But anyone else listening to FUBAR Radio, I love hearing you guys' voices and trying to imagine what you look like. 0330-2230-200. Hit us up. What things that you love have gotten you into trouble? Now, we also have another guest coming up very soon. And this is someone who's going to be taking part in Breaking Convention, which is the event that Johnsy D organises.
Breaking Convention, the International Festival of Hip Hop Dance Theatre. And we are going to have Yami Lovenberg, aka Rowdy. Interesting. I want to ask her why her name is Rowdy.
Okay, so we'll wait for her to step into the studio before we get into all of that. But before we hear from Yami, I wanted to play something brand new from Roots Maneuver. It's a little while since we've heard some new music from him. So it would be interesting to hear all of your reactions to the brand new flavour. You're tuned into FUBAR Radio. Hit us up on Twitter. You are with Sarah, Johnsy, Ben. This is the busiest the studio's ever been. Ben, Jim, and we've got Yami around the corner too. But keep it locked. What is he saying? Hit us up at FUBAR Radio on Twitter, 0330-2230-200. That was brand new from Roots Maneuver. We reckon maybe it's Boat Race.
Boat Race, yeah. Smoke Grease, maybe? I don't know.
I'm really the worst person in the world to ask about lyrics. Like, my whole life I thought on Michael Jackson, he was saying, keep on to the post office, don't stop till you get enough. My whole family think that that's what the lyrics are, so I am not the person to ask. But on the line, we have Mr. Doc Brown. Are you there?
I am there. I'm there.
It's nice to hear your voice, because we're missing... I've been missing you.
Oh, well, I'm missing you guys too.
Where are you?
My favourite... You know what? I was thinking we should just have a weekly thing called, like, Where the Fuck is Doc?
That's a very good idea.
But we can interchange it with any of me, you, or you.
It's like any hospital in the world.
I'm going to be back in June, man. So, and there's a lot of interesting travels in between now and then, so maybe we should do it every week.
But whereabouts in the country are you?
Right now I'm in Hereford. I'm briefly naked, but not for much longer.
Oh.
I'm just... Twit pic. There we go.
Okay, send us an image on Twitter.
Twit pic.
Are you up for that?
I'm shooting nights. I'm shooting a horror series, and so I'm shooting nights. So I start very late, but I'm sleeping during the day. So this is like breakfast for me. I've just woken up, had a shower.
You're just cool, chilling.
And yeah, and I start working about 8 minutes.
So
it's a very small window.
Yeah, so you see, we've been talking, Doc, already on the show about things that you love that get you in trouble. So what, your love of chilling sounds like it could be getting you in trouble today.
Yeah, I wish it was chilling that was the thing that got me in trouble. But no, there's various antics that have sort of combined to get me in a series of trouble with all sorts of people, including the law. And I don't want to get into that on radio.
You don't want to expose yourself
for ITV.
Mm. Oh, okay, fair enough.
It's purely wholesome professional living that you promote.
We'll talk that afterwards. But no, yeah, I mean. It's interesting the 420 thing, because when you're shooting night, you've basically got your days to yourself, and I'm not used to sleeping during the day yet. That's new to me, and the weather is beautiful. I can't describe to you my surroundings; they're spectacular.
I know. I'm jealous. I'm craving countryside right now.
This is what I have. Okay, I've been given my own Georgian townhouse. I have like a townhouse apartment with my own garden and conservatory, and it's just flipping beautiful.
And you didn't invite me. Hating you right now.
Listen, everybody is welcome. Like, I could have
really?
A little house party here.
I'm going to come and bring you some plants.
Because I work night. So you guys will come and party at night.
Yeah, we'll
during
look
the day, like, get out. So yeah, it's quite tricky not to adopt a 420 attitude when you start work at like 5:30 in the afternoon.
When you're not living a normal life.
It's very tricky, because you know what the sunshine does? It just it just tempts people out of their shell to go, you know, hit a beer garden, hit a park, something like that, bring some entertainment, be that
Doc,
liquid form or smoke form.
Doc, I really hope that your character has got bloodshot eyes.
That'll really ease it. Less help. Work for the makeup department. But what, when you say you're going to work in like 5 minutes, what is going to be happening when you turn up at work?
Okay, so in 5 minutes, my driver will come and pick me up and take it.
My driver, darling. Recognize.
These are things that when they're similar to the music business with a rider. Like in the film business, when you sign the contract, you check the finer print of what you're going to get in terms of accommodation, in terms of how you're going to be traveling around. Do you know what I mean? If you see a contract that says you got to get your ass to set on your own accord, then you're a little bit like, but at that rate of pay, I don't know about that. So if the pay is slightly lower, but you get your own driver, then you're like, still interested. You know what I mean? So that's the situation. Yeah, he's going to drive me in to set. I'll get my makeup done. I actually am dressed a little bit like John ZD on this shoot. I have like these kind of glasses and like a big beanie type hat.
Rastaman hat.
Yeah.
I want
a
picture
really
of
a Rastaman hat.
No. Oh, and you're, other than that, you're naked.
It doesn't break my confidence.
You're saying you're completely naked. Nice. Send us a picture, Doc, to twitter.com/freebarradio. I'm sure there's lots of ladies, and maybe men too, listening who would love to see that.
Hey, listen. Come on, let's not take anyone out of the equation in terms of
exactly. We're universal here.
We're universal.
Anyone can dick you.
Yeah.
But no, it's lovely to hear your voice, and we're hoping maybe next week you might even be able to rap about something for us.
Give me a shout every week. I could be anywhere. I'm quite excited to just be in touch with you guys. I know Hugh's struggling out in Australia not to be a part of it as well, you know, and that's a testament to how great a show I feel like we've built together, even though we've never actually been together.
Yeah, seriously, like avoiding each other.
Thing. It's a very.
Can I quickly say before I go? Just before I came.
Before
I came on the line, you were saying about that Michael Jackson lyric. I once did a little hashtag thing on Twitter, where I was just like, as I realized I'd had a lyric really badly wrong. I think it was a Drake lyric, and I got admonished. Then I asked, like, everybody, come on, like, everybody's done this, what's your worst? And a girl tweeted me the best thing. She tweeted me that she used to think on Waiting in Vain, the Bob Marley classic, the line was, we'll share the same room with a roof rack over our head.
It's deep. Bob Marley was deep, man. Singing from the heart.
It's a roof rack. It's a roof rack carrying, you know, your holiday goods.
But once you get these things locked into your mind, though, it's hard to hear it any other way.
A roof rack over our heads.
It's a roof rack, mate. Yeah, roof. You know what I mean?
But it makes complete sense.
Yeah, it works.
A practical man. He had a small space.
Yes.
He's got a new girlfriend. Yep. He doesn't want to cram the room with all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
Get a roof rack. Stick all the extraneous gear up on there.
It makes complete sense.
Make room for loving.
Logic.
Romance. It's logical romance.
Well, next week we hope to speak to you again, Doc, and maybe normally every week we get the listeners to send their recommendations of things for Doc to rap about, because Doc can rap about anything. So I don't know whether if we get any good recommendations this week, maybe you'll have time to pen something for us.
Yes, please.
Oh yeah, for next week and just wrap it down the phone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why not? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Why not?
The prison album.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen. Why not? Why not?
Yeah.
I've always got a little bit of downtime. I've never rapped naked before, so that's an opportunity for next week.
Yeah,
you've never rapped naked? Now, come on, man. Everybody's rapped naked.
That's
even non-rappers rap naked.
Well, I've definitely spat some genuine naked, but that was a different situation.
Oh, yeah. That's the romance in the... Anyway, we don't need to know all the details of your techniques. But yes, Doc, it is absolutely lovely to hear from you. So yeah, if you guys have something that you want Doc to rap about next week, hit us up at tuesdaydrive@foodbarradio.com or Twitter at foodbarradio.
Hashtag rap about anything.
There you go.
Big respect, Doc.
And coming up shortly, see you later. And coming up shortly, we have our next guest, who is a super talented dancer, Yami, going to be in the studio. But before that, last week, Johnsy wanted to hear this, and I couldn't find it in the system. Technology failed me, but now it's there, so I thought I'd play this record for you.
Listen to the lyrics, guys. Important, mate. It's important. Yes.
You know Kendrick. What? That's off of the new Kendrick Lamar album. I've got to say, each listen, because I didn't want to get caught up in all the hype, like the week that it's released and it's trending online and everything, and everyone's like, oh my God, this is changing my life. And it's like, props to him and everything, but it's like, I'd like to take my time and formulate an independent idea. But each listen, I'm liking it more. So props to Kendrick Lamar. And I also rate him how much he's thought outside of the box and hasn't just done like a run-of-the-mill 2015 album. But anyway, yeah, big ups to Kendrick Lamar and all Kendrick, that stuff. And we've been talking about things that you love that have gotten you into trouble. We have one more email for you guys.
This is Mary from Camden. I am obsessed with internet shopping. As soon as payday comes, I blow all my wages, which gets me in trouble when I have to sweet-talk my boyfriend to lend me some money.
Danger. That is dangerous. Awkward. That is a really bad addiction to have, because, yeah, you can get into some serious problems with them kind of addiction.
But I understand, Mary, because I've just found out about eBay. I know it's been around for a long time.
I know, I've avoided it. I've never bought anything online.
Listen.
And my friends are like, are you correct? They're like, do you understand what century you're living in? I've never bought anything online.
It's horrible. Don't start.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm like, screw that. But also, we're buying clothes and things. It's like, I want to touch, feel, try and all that. And my friend's like, oh, it's fine. You just send it back. I haven't got time for that.
No time. And then people ain't got no time. Yami!
Yes.
But before we get into chatting to Yami, we also want to hear from you guys as well, because, of course, each week we do Taking the Piss Tuesday. So you lot need to think about what this week made you say to yourself, are you taking the piss? You're tuned into Food Bar Radio. Remember, you can hit us up on Twitter. And right now we have our next guest, who's a super talented lady dancer, Yami, in the studio.
Yes.
What's up? It's lovely to have you here. But
Thank you for
people who have no idea about you or what popping or breaking or whatever, who is Yami? What is your whole shtiz?
Right, well, I also go by the name Rowdy. And I am a hip hop theatre maker, creator, artist, performer, lecturer, teacher, everything that you can find in hip hop. What do I do? I do a locking and popping, which is a style that arrives from African-American social dancing in the 60s and 70s. And from there, we have something called funk styles from the electric boogaloos and the lockers. And it's a style that, the two different styles, but many people confuse them into one style and it becomes pop locking, and there's no such thing as pop locking. Oh, yes.
Tell them.
Oh, yes.
Preach.
Yes, yes. So there's two different styles. Popping, you see it a lot on videos, moving and tensing and releasing your muscles. Locking is basically stopping and stopping on points and using African social dances underneath it.
And did Soul Train have... Did we see that on Soul Train a lot?
Yeah, so Soul Train obviously was the first of what we call street dance. Kids from the street coming in, just doing styles that was just, you know, fashion at the time in the neighborhood. And so Lock-In was inspired by these dances. And what happened was that the creator, Don Campbell, he just took these dances and did it his own way. And so he stopped in the movements and created his whole different dance styles, which he called Campbell Lock-In.
And so how did you get into, like, what are your origins in as a professional dancer then? Like, right. How did it become to be a profession?
I grew up in Sweden, so I started dancing.
Whereabouts?
Stockholm, Sweden. Yes.
Okay.
Capital.
That's a really interesting city to me, because I've spent quite a bit of time in Sweden, but is that, like, in many ways, it's like a, what's the word? Oxymoron of a place, Stockholm, because it's like such an affluent place where you have, you know, a high quality of life and all of that, but then at the same time, it's like, there's a lot of smackheads out there.
Yeah, I mean, Sweden...
I love Sweden. Can I just put that out? I have a lot of Swedish friends. I love it. No, but I just always find, like, that dichotomy, I just find very interesting.
Well, it's actually interesting because Sweden, as much as it is what it is, it's quite rich, quite, you know, we're always neutral in everything. We don't like to offend no one. We like to kind of be in the middle. But we have a huge, you know, culture of immigration and, you know, people that we've taken in many years ago, and now it's become second and third generation. And we have a huge hip-hop culture, actually.
Yes.
And we did a...
Which is what's always taken me out to
Sweden. And it was actually one of the movies made in about the Black Panther movement.
Yeah, I love that film.
What was it, Black Panther?
And it's Black Power mixtape.
Yeah, Black,
and
yes.
It's Angela Davis on the cover.
Yeah, and it was actually made by Swedish filmmakers.
Amazing,
you know. And it was
definitely recommend checking that out.
Yeah, definitely. I see, it's an amazing documentary about hidden footage that, you know, people haven't seen. So, you know, there is a huge community of hip hop heads in Sweden,
and mixture of cultures as well, which is
completely
partly, like, I'd say going to Sweden, I'm always so impressed with these strikingly beautiful people who, it's like when you get the two complete opposite ends of, like, the from Aryan blonde blue eye to, like, proper African mixed together is, like, stunning.
Yeah, and
so
we have a lot of Syrian, we have a lot of Kurdish, we have a lot of I would say Latin American, because I can't just pick one group, but we have a lot of Latin American as well. So they are obviously, like I said, second and third generation now, which is intermixing, and we're becoming beautiful mixers all around. So,
and I feel like this all has to play into why there is that rich, like, hip-hop culture in Sweden,
too. Of course, yeah, of course.
You think that's fair to say?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, Swedish people always been interested in something that is not Swedish.
Aww.
That's why we love American. We love American culture. When I was young, all we had was Brandy, Moesha, Fresh Prince, Martin. You know, or Steve Urkel. We had all of this that influenced the way we spoke, the way we dressed. You know, what came in on TV. All of it, you know, inspired us. And I guess that's maybe what inspired me. Obviously, I was a huge Michael Jackson fan, and. Exactly. And I saw all of that on TV. And I think that what inspired me to dance. And my teacher was from LA. He was Damon Frost.
Frost.
Yeah.
Sorry, you just mentioned a name. He's a legend. Did he ever come to London in the day, like 80 something?
He did. I mean, he's been here many times. He was also a great musician and rapper. So he's been in London many times, but he was known as Mr. Rubberman, and he was one of the, I mean, first, I guess, celebrity dancers that was around, you know, before Salah and everyone. But
so when you say you had a teacher, though, and that he was your teacher, what do you mean? As in, like, you were going to classes?
Yeah.
This is just someone in your neighborhood?
So,
like,
the first time I saw Damon was in a dance class. I didn't really want it to go. My friend said, oh, you should come. And I said, nah, it's not for me. But then I went and I saw Damon dance, and I said, oh my God, he dances like the people in the video. Wow.
This is what I've been looking for.
Yes. And it was like seeing the light. It literally was like seeing the light. And then since that day, I was in every single class. He taught me everything. I was a rubbish dancer, by the way.
How old were you at that time?
I was 15 years old, so I was quite old. But
sorry,
I
just
was,
a couple years ago.
Yeah, yeah, just around now. The corner. But I wasn't a good dancer. I was always in the back. I was really shy, you know. But he was the one who said, you know what? You got it. And you need to be in the front of the class. And I said, no, no. And he would put me in the front of the class. And he would, and I heard you ask about my name early on. And he would put me into battle. We would do battles in class. And I was so shy. I was always looking down in the ground. And he would hit me on my chin and say, look up, look up. He said, you got it. And I said, I can't. And he would hit me on the chin. And as soon as he did that, I kind of got the empowerment. So I would start battling everyone in the class, even though I was shit scared, and I'll battle everyone. And he was like, you're the queen of battles. And that was my first name, actually. And he said the queen of battles, because I used to win all of the battles.
I love it.
Yeah, but that kind of got me into this kind of persona which I created, where I was really confident to the point where it was almost rude. And
it's a fine line, isn't it? Because in many ways that is part of hip hop, is like having, you know, yeah, being confident, puffing your chest out, sort of thing, isn't it? But then, yeah, I guess there is that fine line between just getting labelled an asshole and just being like, yeah, props.
Yeah, but also I think, I guess it's for women as well, because women, we almost have this kind of thing where, you know,
to be dainty,
you know, you need to calm down, you know, don't make too much noise, you know,
don't make a scene of yourself, be a polite little wallflower.
And I think I was that everything, I would try to do everything against it, you know. I was listening to hip hop, you know, I was wearing baggy trousers, you know, Wu-wear. I don't know if you remember the Wu-wear. Yeah,
they must have made a mint on the Wu-wear. They killed it with the Wu-wear, didn't they?
I know. So I was wearing all that, and I was really loud, and I was laughing really loud. And you know, I came here to the UK 2003,
yeah,
and everything changed.
Yeah, so those were your beginnings.
Yeah,
so then how did it turn into like this was a like professional operation for you dancing?
So I came here and I thought to myself, I want to be a professional dancer. So I came here and I was just shocked how advanced in my eyes UK dance was.
Interesting.
Yes, because I was advanced in my country. But then here, I went to a class, and I went to Pineapple, and
what? Spill the beans. What do you mean,
I mean, as much as Pineapple is great for commercial business and for artists going to learn a few dance classes, in terms of hip-hop, it's nothing. It's nothing, you know.
Can we caption
I'm
that?
I'm sorry.
It's lame.
And tweet it.
And what's deep about it is that Pineapple is in Covent Garden.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never thought about
roots
it like that.
Of hip hop were right, there, do you know right what I mean? So it makes me question, was Pineapple not aware of what was happening on their front doorstep?
But then don't you often, because I've always kind of, I mean, you guys are like the authority on this, like I'm the just the DJ kind of thing. But in many, because I was always schooled on this breaking, and then it was only like recently, as you had like Step Up and all that kind of stuff come out.
I love the movement.
Yeah, no, whenever I say that word.
She said she doesn't dance, yeah? I just saw a chest
that
pop.
That was a chest pop.
Do you think, thank you, Yami knows what dance is? I think I know a little bit about dance, and you've just done a beautiful chest pop.
No, but it's like, it's the rule. If you say that film title, you've got to do the Step Up to the streets.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's, but no, it was like when all them films came out, that's when suddenly you started hearing like hip hop dance.
Yes.
And like to me, that was a very different thing to like you're saying, there were the actual breakers in Covent Garden in the streets. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, there was people doing hip hop dance at Pineapple.
Yes.
And so, I mean, I wonder how, like, you guys tell me, because maybe I've got that all twisted kind of thing, but what is like the politics of that in your opinion? Like, well, hip hop dance versus breaking and hip hop culture?
I think it's very simple. Hip hop is always a growing culture, and it's always a street culture. And you know, it can only be a street culture if it was on the street. You know, when you institutionalize dance, it becomes something completely different. And you are in a dance school teaching street dance.
The same as in many fields. And this is the issue, because I hate the music industry.
Yeah.
I have zero aspirations of the music industry, but and what you know, my dad's always said to me, culture comes from the ground up. Mm-hmm. It never comes from the top down. Like, real right. culture is yeah. generated from the
nothing.
Masses.
From nothing.
It comes from the masses. Yeah. You know, and that's also the issue that I have with all the gentrification that's going on in the UK at the moment, because that's basically silently killing off real people culture, yeah. you know, absolutely. And it's like, well, we're not going to generate interesting things. Like London, imagine how boring London is potentially going to be in 10 years' time when it's like dry. Wherever you are in Walthamstow or Brixton or whatever, yes. you've got the same coffee shops, yes. the same shopping mall, which yes. you can find in Nairobi yes. or in Toronto Thank or wherever you. Kind of thing. So in many ways, I feel it's the same with hip hop in terms of the music industry. You have the rap music thing, which is dictated by people who sit at desks.
Yeah.
But then we have hip hop where it's like, us as a community are ruling this thing.
Yeah. Mm. And I think, and whether you like to go to Pineapple or not, there's nothing wrong, you know.
yeah, we're not meaning to just
no,
like, God,
there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with going to Pineapple. And at the end of the day, if you're creating art, which is yeah. dance, is good.
Yes.
You know, as long as we always have an art form and flourishing in any way, it's good.
I agree.
But there's many other studios out there that provides certain, you know, certain classes that is for certain people. So in the end of the day, it's not wrong to go to Pineapple.
So then, know. Okay, for people who are out there, yeah, okay, well played. Well played. We're in the clear. Okay, no, so for people who are interested in, because it was interesting even, it, like, I was always told it's breaking.
Yeah.
But then it was like, when it got kind of presented to the mainstream crowd, it was breakdance.
Media. Yep. Media.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, no, it's not yes. breakdance. But obviously the general people wouldn't understand breaking yeah. what kind of thing. So it's like it needed to be, like, presented in a more palatable way, doesn't it? Yeah. But if you are someone listening to FUBAR Radio now and you're interested in, like, you want to know properly, like, how you want to get the proper school in dance, yeah. like, and you're saying there are other outlets and places to go, how would you say people should connect if they want to learn about dancing or spectate or whatever?
Come to Breaking Convention.
That's the right answer. That's the right answer.
Yeah.
So I mean, performing at Breaking Convention.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not performing. I am actually in charge of Tiny Tot Circle, the Tiny Tot Rock Circle, which I love being part of, actually, because it goes back to what I was talking about, inspiring young minds and just really making art flourish. You know, it's not about how yeah. good you are. It's not about, you know, if you, you know, you know it from before. It's yes. about literally letting kids just go wild and nuts.
I love that.
And it's central to hip hop culture. Yes. Each one teach one.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Everybody who's involved in hip hop teaches everybody.
Yeah.
And if you don't, then you probably aren't even doing it properly yourself. Do you know what I mean? Is that fair to say?
And the unity and having fun aspect. Because I'm definitely people in the past have accused me of being a hip hop purist.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't care. As long as it's like everything is positive and is coming from the heart, like, I think that's the most important articulation, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. And, you know, the festival is so good in so many different levels, because not only do we obviously see the professionals perform, you know, you get the kids doing Future Elements, you get the tiny ones trying out for the first time, you get parents coming and supporting, you get people that has never seen anything like it ever coming and just seeing it for the first time and falling in love.
It's
you
wonderful.
Know, you get artists like me get to meet everyone. It's like a reunion, like this 1 year reunion where we all come together and, you know, look at each other's work. So it's a great, and obviously the addition to the park with the Park Jam, I mean, it's amazing, because there we get the older generation,
yeah,
you know, the people
the
that has
circle.
Not got yeah that got yeah. kids, you know, that likes to come bring the kids
the
to the
who
park
can't get a babysitter so they need an event where they can take their kids with them,
the nappies Freeness. Are too expensive yes. so they need to get the nappies, not the ticket, the, you know. Yeah, and then you get the outdoor jam, you know, which is taking it back to the streets.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that's also like a wonderful thing with Breaking Convention. Like, when you think for the little kids going down, like, they're just taking for granted that, oh yeah, standardly, this is just what you see happening around you kind of thing. So it's like they're just being indoctrinated with our ideas without even our own agendas, without necessarily realizing. But yeah, I just think that having exposure at such a young age to something so true and cool is like wonderful when you think how much whackness out there is being pushed into their minds.
I mean, every day in media we get pushed into certain images, certain things that, you know, is happening, certain diversions of things. And, you know, if we can be in media and show more positivity in terms of hip-hop culture, we have to. Whatever we can, if it's radio, if it's TV, you know, whatever we can, we need to always make sure we push hip-hop positivity.
So, you know, and it's interesting because, for me, the whole idea that, oh, hip-hop is misogynistic, yeah? For me, the people that practice the art form, yeah? There's loads of women doing it at a high level. I'm sitting with two now, do you know what I mean? And I think it's really important that that you guys open your voices, which you're doing right now, just to show how important hip-hop is for you, rather than people tell you that, oh, it's misogynistic.
It's nothing to do, you don't get involved. But that's why I'm interested then. For your opinion, as someone who, this is obviously a big part of your life, like, what is the why is dance important?
Dance is important. Well, I can only take myself an example. I wasn't great in school. I didn't have a lot of support from home. I had a very troubled kind of background. And for me, dance was the only thing that felt right. It felt like it was an outlet where I could be free to create movements and be myself. And I think dance is important because it speaks your mind in a fluid way, you know. It speaks your mind. And I know many, many kids that has become a completely different person by having the right teacher, being in the right dance class, being at a festival, seeing something for the first time, they change.
The first time I remember meeting you, Rowdy, it was in the context of a class in Brixton. And what I was really impressed with was that it was other women that you were teaching. And you were very, very clear with them about to cock someone. I don't know if you remember this.
You what?
Yeah, okay.
You what?
Let's explain. Actually, do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What was you breaking down?
In b-boying or break dancing, as I say, in mainstream media, a way of kind of dissing someone or like saying to someone that they're kind of crap is by bringing up how big your phallus is to the other person.
and just putting it in their face.
Putting it in their face and showing them, I'm better than you. Look how big it is. It's so big, I can't even hold it. Right? So I have this thing about it, and I think, yeah, that's great, but we have B-girls as well. You know, I used to see girls going, in your face. And I'm thinking, but you don't have a...
But you see, that's the monkey see, monkey do thing, isn't it?
And then I was very adamant of going, right, you don't have one, so what would you do instead? And, you know, it's wrong. You shouldn't try to copy a man thing to do. Find your own identity. Be a strong woman and find something. If you want to diss someone, that's fine, but you got to bring something to the table.
Or be you,
or just be better. You know, if you are better, you don't have to diss no one.
Yes.
You won't have time because you're better.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why I've never had to diss anybody.
Exactly.
It's like, I ain't got time for that. I'm too busy. No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
And it's all, I don't know, I just think that it's a positive affirmation that you said. Do you know what I mean? Be yourself. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of codes within hip-hop. There's a lot of moves that are called names and stuff like that. But I think a lot of these moves were created by people, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then they called it a name. And I've always
sometimes accidentally these things have emerged and then it's become a thing only later down the line, you know, an identifiable thing necessarily.
I mean, breaking was made by 15-year-old Puerto Rican and black boys.
I mean, it's so cute when you are...
I actually heard it was under 10-year-old.
Well, yeah, there you go. So you're gonna get immaturities. You're gonna get, you know, poses of Batman and Run DMC and, you know, I mean, the Spider-Man. You're gonna get poses like that, freezes. But we're now evolving, and there's now women involved, and we're not less. We're not more. We're equal.
Yeah.
So
fully,
you know, we
and
we
that is gotta, one thing that is ill in the dance scene. For hip hop is I do feel it is a very level playing field. I don't feel that there is a hierarchy going on, which I can't necessarily say that is, universally agreed within hip hop, within DJ circles or even rapping circles. You know, like I still think that is still very much like this concept that it's an anomaly, you know, a novelty to have a female rapper or, you know, a female DJ kind of thing. Whereas I don't feel that necessarily with the, maybe it's just because I'm less tuned, like connected, deep, entrenched into like the breaking circles or whatever, I don't feel it.
I mean, I think that the scene breaking convention has developed. I don't think that that's like that. But I would say that the battle scene is still heavily male-focused.
Oh, definitely still dominate, male-dominate. Yeah. Like, women are still outnumbered by far in every discipline of hip-hop, for sure.
But I think that the attitude of the women has changed. Mm. We're no longer suppressed. So, you know, when I went into the circle, I was scared because I knew that the outcome would be that there might be hatred against me because I went into the scene. But I went into the circle, but I did it anyway, just to spite them. Whereas now, you know, women go into the circle knowing that they're going to get a pat on the back from male, female, or whoever. It don't matter anymore. So it's different. Their mind has changed. But the ratio of people is more men.
Of course, yeah. And that's inevitable, really, in many ways. Can I just say, I love you, Yami.
Oh,
I think it's wonderful what you're doing. You know, because it takes someone with big balls to step up to the circle like that.
And you got real big ones.
No, it takes courage. Yes. No, but it takes courage to step onto any kind of platform in any medium, you know what I mean? And like perform is not something that necessarily everybody has. So I just think there's added challenges that you face too. Now, in my family, my mum was a professional dancer. My sister's incredible dancer too. So I think in many ways.
And you, because.
I think I always kind of shied away from dance because they were such incredible dancers, and and that's also maybe why. Well, no, I've always just had an obsession with collecting music and production and things like that. So for me, it was natural to kind of hide behind a set of turntables and not try and be the dancer. So I want. Is there I would never put myself up there as being an ill dancer of any description. But I want you to like teach me some kind of. Okay, I've got the chest pop.
Well, you got the chest pop.
I wish you could see on camera weak this chest pop is.
You got the chest pop. I know you got the wave.
I've got that.
Guys,
that's weak.
Wave was like Atlantic.
Wait. The other one is the.
Oh, yeah.
That one.
Oh, the dead arm. I've got the dead arm. And a hit in your head. Hit it in your head. Bring it down. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. So I've got all the gimmick moves.
Yeah, but you know what? You don't need anything more in energy.
I'm just killing it.
Exactly.
So breaking convention. Watch out, all you male breakers out there.
Sarah
Love's going to kill you, man.
She's coming for you. You know there's a cypher, right? There's an adult cypher. So you better bring it. You better bring it. Come
chest
correct.
Pops galore.
Come correct.
Strictly chest pops. No, that would fully be taking the piss. And speaking of taking the piss. We have a weekly feature on this show, Yami, called Taking the Piss Tuesdays, where this is basically the chance where our listeners get to vent about things that have happened, maybe witnessed, or just gripes they've had this week that really made them say, the piss? Yeah, you're familiar with the term taking the piss.
Yes, I'm familiar. Like I said, in America, they say grind your gear.
Grind your gear. That's not as cool as saying taking the piss.
Taking the piss is way cooler.
It's so hilarious if you say, are you taking the piss to Americans? They're like, no, I don't need the bathroom. You know, they're very, because they don't understand
you
at all.
Do not extract my urine, please.
Yes. It was interesting, actually. I was talking to an American lady yesterday, and I said, yeah, that's wicked. And she laughed at me. And she said, oh, my God, you're so Boston.
Boston?
It's because Boston is kind of like Americans being a bit English.
English, of course.
Their accent is like a little more anglicised, isn't
right.
it? Let me not offend anyone.
It's true, though. It's true.
We have offended everyone in this show so far.
This is what we strive to do each week.
We're getting a lawsuit from Pineapple Studios. I know.
I can't guarantee you'll be invited back, Yami. No, I'm joking. I'm totally joking. I love you. But, so taking the piss Tuesday. So I want to hear from the Food Bar Radio listeners what things this week have made you say, are you taking the piss? And Yami might have something to contribute. But before we get into that, I've got a tune for us. Have you heard of this dude, Shaka?
No.
Okay, tell me how you're feeling. So it's like a little bit favour. You're tuned into Food Bar Radio. Hit us up 0330-223-0200. My ex left saying she ain't got the time, yo. brand new UK music by a young man called Shaka. That's called Say Nada. You're tuned into FUBAR Radio. Yes, FUBAR Radio with myself, Sarah, and we're joined by Yami, oh, and Johnsy, my guest co-host this week, seeing as I've been abandoned by Doc and Hugh.
I'm the Doc today. I'm the Doc and the Hugh.
Yes, but super we also talented. Have our guest with us, Yami, the super talented, ill lady dancer, killing it for us in there. I mean, I was just doing chest pops throughout that whole last
whole
track.
Tune,
it was
all
just
of
pure
us were
chest,
just
popping.
Chest popping.
There was
that
a jam.
Was an ill chest pop battle.
Yeah.
I want to see that, a chest pop battle.
Yeah, right.
But
right.
No, but FUBAR Radio listeners, you should know by now, every Tuesday we ask you what this week has made you say,
are you taking the piss?
Because we all encounter these different things, right? Okay, the email is TuesdayDrive@FUBARRadio.com. Tweet us at FUBAR Radio. And of course, we'd love to hear from you on the phone too, 0330 230 200. Now, for me, this might make me sound like I love children. Anyone who knows me knows how maternal I am. They're like, you've been maternal since the first day I met you when you were like 5 or something. So I love kids, okay? But I don't really, tell me if I'm just totally out of order I don't really fully understand. You know, when you're on public transport, like if you're on the tube or you're on the bus and it's packed, right. So there's limited seats, but then people let little kids sit down before the adult sits down. Are you taking the piss?
Yes.
Are you taking the piss?
Are you taking the piss?
I don't know. Maybe it's just how I was raised, where our parents were like more on that tip of kids need to play their position and know when they're being. The adults go first. But, you know, it really bugs me when it, like, for a kid, that's fun to be thrown around on a bus. Stand up. But for me, I think that kind of takes the piss when it's like there's older people who really, in the hierarchy of things, they should get the seat. Is that out of order?
It's a liberty. Them you.
Am I out of order?
They've got
They've got
young legs. They're excitable, you know what I mean? They haven't had a 9-to-5 that they've just come back from.
Or a dodgy knee.
Yeah,
Like medical ailments, anything like that. So for me, when I see that happening, I'm just like,
are you taking the piss?
I think it's a bit of a liberty. And adults should be offered seats first. So I want to know, FUBAR Radio listeners, hit me up. What this week made you say, are you taking the piss? Yami, was there anything in this recent week?
Well, I would say mine is a little bit more political.
We're troublemakers here, Yami.
Well, I'm not going to go
so
into, yes, I'm not going to go into deep with it, but Katie Hopkins.
You know what? No, I've made a ban on even saying her name.
Oh, right.
But that woman is dangerous.
Can we
like,
just bleep
what a nasty
out?
Person.
Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah. Or no, right. Let's just call her.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So.
Yes.
Said what?
Said that immigrants, obviously, on the boats that is capsizing right now in the seas are cockroaches. And that, you know, they should just take them back to the shores.
But do you know what I think the worst thing about it is that to her, it's just like amusement. Like she thinks, oh, this will get loads of attention on Twitter. And it's like, no, this is just appalling. Like, you know, I believe in the power of love and it's all about spreading that energy, you know. And it's just outrageous. In 2015, there is someone existing who thinks that that's appropriate. And I think it's out. The editor of The Sun, the newspaper that she writes for, they need to be taken to task. Absolutely. Because that is should not be. I just think it's disgraceful. That shouldn't even be part of are you taking the piss. That should be do you need a box? You know, because
I was
it's
thinking,
like,
are you taking
I don't promote
the
violence. I don't promote violence.
Exactly.
But she is fully taking the piss. So I'm fully backing
you. That was huge. Yeah.
It's quite deep. It's quite, I mean, she the fact that she's even allowed to open her mouth is actually quite shocking. And we're, like you said, we are in a place in time and world where so much stuff is going around that it's shocking that she is speaking.
But get with the program.
And she's almost like a caricature of herself, you know. It's just content.
You know what I think with her? She obviously inside has issues and she probably hates herself, and this is the only way she knows how to vocalize is projecting, you know, to create a distraction from so no one notices the things that she's insecure about. So I actually feel sorry for her, because her existence must be, because when you feel love in your heart and you feel joy and inspired by something like springtime, well, children's laughter, you're not going to have time to talk about that.
Alright, so let me give you a new one then.
Okay,
just because that didn't really kind of fit into the program. Well, right. You know when you come home and you got food in your house and you've been thinking about that food all day long, yeah. And someone has eaten that food.
Are you taking a piss?
Yes, they are taking a piss.
That is liberties.
Liberties. Berties.
No, but do you know what's also dangerous about that? That's the kind of thing where, listen, I'm someone where I'm not the same if I haven't had my dinner, okay? And I cannot be taken, you know I cannot be held responsible for my actions if I haven't had my dinner. So
not eaten.
At your own risk, do you eat my food?
The reason why your larynx has just been ripped out is because I'm hungry. Thank you
very much.
Okay, well, Naomi.
We have listeners, FUBAR Radio listeners, I love hearing from you. What, Naomi, where's Naomi at?
Naomi from Fulham. She said, someone brought fish in for their lunch and now is stinking at the office. Are you taking the piss?
Are you taking the piss?
I think
you know what? If you're someone who doesn't eat fish, that is pretty intense. It's intense, man.
You know when you were talking earlier on about lyrics, getting lyrics wrong?
That's now, my middle name.
No,
Sarah,
shockingly,
getting lyrics wrong, love.
Shockingly, in the Michael Jackson, Gotta Start Something, he sings You're Vegetable.
Yeah, he totally sings Vegetable.
I was like, there's no way he's singing this. And there was a bet, and me and my friend was Googling it up. And it's like, buffet.
You're a vegetable.
You're a vegetable.
Shocking. Shocking.
You were outraged. You were disgusted.
I was outraged. I'm thinking, here I am.
Yami's harsh, man.
I know.
Okay, Alexa from Beckenham.
Yeah.
When I was on the train to work this morning, some huge guy came and sat right next to me, and I was completely squished for the entire journey.
Are you taking the piss?
She's just like, listen, okay. Right, I didn't get to tell him about himself, but the whole nation can hear about it. No, I know, sometimes it, but hey, man, he's entitled to a seat too.
He exactly. Needs to sit down.
No, but I feel your pain. What was the lady's name?
I'm
backing you in that. Every person's voice here counts.
Yeah.
But
English people are very, very about their space, you know.
So first you're taking down Pineapple Studios, now you're going to address English people. Come on, Yami. No, I'm joking. Yes, no, it's about boundaries.
Yeah, they like their space, you
especially
know?
In London.
Yeah,
because we're
and
short
especially
on space.
In the summer, there's some dodgy armpits going on there. And when you're my height, 5'4",
you're just at the right height. You're at the right height.
Yeah.
Well, talking of which, there's one more. Some man on my train this morning made me so vexed as he had his shoes off and his nasty feet all over the seat. I felt sick.
Are you taking the piss?
No, that was Mary in Cobham.
Mary, I fully back you because when I see an adult or a child, same way, a child, I don't care. When I see an adult with their feet on the seat on public transport, I'm just like, what planet are you on? Like, this is a public. We are all entitled to not sit in your shoes that have trodden dog shit.
Absolutely.
You know, like, come on.
Yes.
That's just, I don't even understand the thinking behind it.
I hate that.
I think we got, you know, and can I also say this week, I was away on tour over this last week. That's why it feels like a month ago since I was last here, even though it's only a week. But I've been all over the country in the last few days.
Right.
Got home to find a note from UKIP, who's running to represent UKIP in Haringey.
What?
Black dude had come and visited our house to kind of, you know, get our support to vote UKIP. Wow. And I was just like, I was really hoping he was going to come back so I could just give him a piece of my mind, but fully.
Are you taking the piss?
And then I felt really terrible when the guy from the VSO collecting money for charity, but he had like a purple outfit on. So through the door, I thought it was the black guy from UKIP again. So I went to the door like ready to tear him off a piece. And I was like, oh, sorry, dude. You're mistaken. He's actually, you're not the first person on this trip.
Oh, please poor guy.
Mistook me for this other guy. Yeah, VSO, what a great institution. Confused for UKIP. But yeah, so that's Are You Taking the Piss Tuesdays? And Johnsy, I haven't heard you vent about anything that you felt taking the piss.
You know, I've just had a really lovely week. I'm not going to lie.
I thought the police were taking the piss a little bit, arresting random people in Hyde Park. We've got 20 seconds.
All right, then. The police were taking the piss.
Yes. Yeah?
Don't arrest people for just chilling and doing some lovely stuff. And
eating,
and you know, just
they're
using
boosting the economy by buying biscuits and chocolates and things like that. Thank you so much. Make sure you tune in next week to the Tuesday Drive. Peace.
See you.